We've been talking about the names of God in the Bible, and we are through all of the ones that begin with L, or that have L in the name, and we've looked at a bunch of those. There are not as many that involve the other reference to God, which is Jehovah or Yahweh, often translated Lord as opposed to God. So El and the forms of El are often going to be translated as God, who is something or something like that. Whereas the Yahweh or Jehovah, whichever way it's pronounced, nobody knows. Interestingly, the Jewish people that spoke Hebrew, about the 3rd century after Christ, they stopped saying the name. They would not say it. They were afraid that they might accidentally use the Lord's name in vain. And so they simply stopped saying it. Most of the time, what they would say in place of it was Adonai, which is just the word for Lord or Master. And so, for 1700 years, no one on earth has said this group of Hebrew letters that was the name that God revealed himself to be. So we really don't have a clue how it's pronounced, other than we know the consonants that they use, but we don't know what vowel sounds they put with it. And so that's why we have some would say Jehovah, although unlikely because the Hebrew language doesn't have a J sound at all. More likely it's either Jehovah or Yahweh or Yahweh or something, you know, but we don't know. So we're stuck not knowing what the Hebrew people called God. They did still use El and Elohim and those, and they still use those to this day. But those were, again, we talked about when we were talking about those, that those are the generic word for any deity. And so they used El to refer to the false gods and the true God. But this name, which as best we can understand means the self-existent one, was first revealed in Exodus chapter 3. And so here's kind of the way that this came about. If we look at a few of the verses here in Exodus 3 and in Exodus 6 as well. Exodus 3 verses 6 and 7, God is speaking to Moses, and he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." So again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have different gods. They all served the same God. And now God is saying to Moses, "I'm that same God, the same God that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob worshipped and served." And when he said that, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, of course, this was in the burning bush, so he wasn't actually seeing God anyway. He was just seeing this manifestation in this burning bush. And God said to Moses, and that, of course, when it says God here in all these places, it's saying this is El, or some form of El. Then in verse 7, "Then the Lord said..." Now that's where we first are... Let me explain this part of it. This is the first time God explains that this is his name to someone. But because Moses is the one who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the word, the name that's translated Lord is used all the way back in Genesis chapter 2 by Moses. But that wasn't the name that the people at that time would have called God. It hadn't been revealed to them yet. So we'll move along. "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings." Then in verse 14 and 15, down in that section, Moses had asked, "Okay, so who am I supposed to say has sent me. I'm going to go talk to the people and I'm going to tell them God sent me, but who? What God? There are so many gods around that people believe in. Which one are you? And so God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now that phrase, I am who I am, sometimes people have taken that to mean that's his name. I am who I am. But that's not his name. That one is actually a different descriptive phrase that in essence has to do with the fact that first of all, he doesn't change. He is who he is. And he still is the same. It also has to do with the fact that he's not someone that can be explained very easily. And some people have taken this to be, this is the special name that God said when Moses asked, who sent me? And God basically doesn't answer him, doesn't tell him who to say. But he just says, I already told you, he already told him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am who I am. I mean, that is who I am. There wasn't a special name given there. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. So the one who is has sent me to you. And this again, this carries with it that same idea of one who exists in and of himself. One who is existence. And we understand that. Paul talks about in him we live and move and have our being. We couldn't live. There would be no life without him. He is the source of all living things. And so he says, tell them I am sent you. So then he goes on to explain to him again. He also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. The Lord is that phrase again that we would say Jehovah or Yahweh. So this Jehovah or Yahweh is then, he says, the name, that's the way I'm to be remembered. As Jehovah or Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And so he has it. Now, certainly, that doesn't mean that that's the only thing we know about him. Obviously, we've already seen that we know some other things about him. But then in Exodus chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3, he explains this again as he's talking to Moses. And he explains a little more detail. And it helps us to understand why, even though we see the term in our English Bibles, Lord, all the way back from Genesis 2 on, and it's used actually over 6,500 times in the Hebrew Bible, this name Yahweh or Jehovah is used. That's a lot. That's a lot of verses that have this name in it. And then, of course, sometimes it's going to be connected with other of the names or titles or descriptions of God as well, and we'll look at some of those as we go along. But in Exodus chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3, then he said, God's speaking to Moses, and he said to him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as Elohim, God Almighty, our English translations may say. But by my name, the Lord, Jehovah or Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. Now there are probably some other names of God that he has never made known to us at all. But he lets us know here that when he first met with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they knew him as God Almighty, as Elohim. Or El Shaddai, or El Elyon, and there were several. We looked at all of those. They knew him by those names that had El in them. But he says, "I've never revealed myself until now I've never revealed this name. You see, I'm kind of in that similar boat. You all know me as James, but I have another name that I haven't revealed to you. And even in my little article that was in the bulletin today about our family, I didn't reveal that name to you. There's good reason for that, but you know, but because I have a criminal background and I don't want you to know. No. But you know, we have sometimes, we may have a name. I remember one fellow, when I was a high school student in Mississippi, one of my friends, his father ran the tow truck. Everybody called him Hooker. And he'd go, you know, he'd break down, he'd go hook you and drag you to town. So he drove the tow truck. And everybody, it'd been that way for years. I mean, this time he's up into his 50s or 60s, and he's been doing that for 30 or 40 years. And that's what everybody called him or whatever. Well, somebody actually came to his house, knocked on his door. He came to the door and the fellow said, "Well, I'm looking for so-and-so." His actual name was Johnny Blind. So he said, I'm looking for Johnny Blind. And he said, Blind. He said, "I know some Blinds. I am a Blind." But he said, I don't know who Johnny Blind is. And it wasn't until after the person had left, you know, they were trying to find this person they had known back in high school or whatever, you know, and they're trying to find. And it wasn't until after they left where he realized, went back in there to his wife. He said, she said, "Well, who was at the door?" He said, "I don't know, somebody looking for a Johnny Blind. Do you know any Johnny?" She said, "Honey, that's your name." he'd been going by this other name so long, he'd forgotten. But sometimes we have a name that isn't our name that we reveal to everybody. Well, God had the name Yahweh or Jehovah. He had that name all along. But he had not revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the others until now. And so as Moses, he revealed this name and he lets people know, yes, I am the self-existent one. I am the one who is life, who is the source of life. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question then, as we think about that, you know, how do we view God? Do we realize that He's not dependent on anyone else? Now then, this name is connected many times with others, like Jehovah Elohim. We've talked about Elohim before. Back in Genesis 2:4, the first time Jehovah actually appears, or Yahweh appears, in the Hebrew text. And this would be the Lord, our Creator, the Lord, the God Almighty, these kind of things. And that's in Genesis 2:4. It's also in connection with El Elyon, which is in Genesis 14:22, the Lord Most High God, or the Lord, the God Most High. And so we've already talked about El Elyon, but here they're used in conjunction, compound names, so to speak. Then there's Jehovah El Olam, the Lord, the everlasting God. So this one talks about not only is He the one who is without beginning because He existed of Himself, but He is everlasting. He'll continue to exist of Himself. He, you know, all of us, we had a source. We had parents. We had, and we'll have an end. And we'll, you know, there's beginnings and ends. And in the meantime, we have to have sustenance, air, water, food. We need all of these things to survive and to continue living. But when God says, "I am the self-existing one," that means He doesn't need to breathe or eat or drink water or He doesn't need anything else to survive. He exists in and of Himself. Now when we think about that, that is a concept that's beyond our human understanding. Every living thing that we know of on this planet exists because it receives nourishment in some way. Whether it's a plant or a one-celled animal, all the way up to, you know, to human beings being the most complex of God's creation. We all have to have things in order to live. We can't live by ourselves. If we take away air, we can live for 5 minutes. Take away water, we can live for a few days, up to a week maybe or so. Take away food, we can live a month or two, maybe we could survive. But without those things, we're coming to an end. And yet God, Yahweh, is the self-existent one. He doesn't need anything else in order to survive. And that's truly incomprehensible, that someone could exist without anyone else. And everlasting. You may not know it by this name, but the second law of thermodynamics, if you ever studied that back in school, it's a law in our universe that basically says everything is running down, and unless you put some energy into it, it's going to run out of gas. We know that with our cars. You got to keep putting gas in them or they won't run. We know that even with our sun. The sun is dying. Now, we don't have to get all alarmed about it. The scientists say it's going to be, 5 million years before it runs out of, we'll be long gone, even if it's 500 years. But it is running out. It's using up its fuel. It's burning it up. And at some point, it will burn up all the fuel that there is, and it'll burn out. That's the way everything in this universe works. You have to feed it. You have to give it fuel. You have to put energy into it to make it work. But God's different. We don't have to put any energy in to keep Him working. It's amazing when we think about it. And He is everlasting. No end to Him. So is your God the only one who wasn't created by someone else? All of the rest of existing things, beings, energy, all of the rest was created by Him. He's the only one who didn't have any source, any creator. Wasn't created. Now sometimes children ask those questions, who made God? And, we say, well, nobody did. He's always been here. And even though we give the children that little simple answer, they go, oh, okay. But we really puzzle over that. We're like, how? How is that even possible? But that again just goes to show us how far above us God is. That we struggle to understand how He can even exist like He does without having somebody who created Him. And yet He is. And He always has been. And He always will be. And it's stunning to us. But because He is, then we need to understand we should be following Him. We should be worshiping Him. Because He is so much more than we can even think or imagine. We could never be like Him in that sense. So as we looked in at some of the others, now we saw there some of the ones with El, where he put Jehovah or Yahweh together with one of the El descriptions. And now we want to look at just a couple of others tonight. We don't want to stay too long. But Jehovah or Yahweh Adonai or Adonijah. In Genesis 15:2, this is the self-existent one, the Lord, the Master. And again, this Adonijah is the word that eventually kind of supplanted the term Jehovah or Yahweh in the Hebrew language. That's what they call God now is Adonai. So this term Genesis 15 and verse 2. Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So he's recognizing that God is his master, his Lord, the Lord over him. And he recognizes himself in that position. So is the self-existent one your Lord and Master? Do you do what he tells you to do? Do you live how he tells you to live? It always amazes me that we as human beings can be so arrogant as to think that we know better than the one who is the source of life how to live that life. That we know better than our master what we should do. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if we think about the very concept of a slave-master relationship, if the slave tries to do contrary to what the master says, the slave would be punished for that. And yet we think sometimes that, well, yeah, I know God said such and such, but I want to do it this way. I think this would work better or whatever. That's just wrong thinking. He is our Lord and Master. And we are to be obedient to Him. We are to be in subjection to Him and submissive to Him. And even if He tells us to do something that may not make sense to us, we need to trust Him that He knows. Because, you know, it's not like a human master and slave where the human master may be wrong. He's God. He knows everything there is to know about life. He knows everything that there is to know about what will make us happy, what will make us satisfied in life, what will make our lives worthwhile. He knows all of those things. We need to trust Him and listen to Him and do as He says. But too often, we ignore the one who should be our master. And it causes us trouble when that happens and when we do that. The third compound name, Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Jireh. Again, the J sound, it probably would have been a Y sound from other Hebrew words that we know of. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, this is the Lord the Provider. And this is, of course, if you remember Genesis chapter 14, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, this is when Abraham takes Isaac up to sacrifice Isaac to the Lord, as the Lord has commanded him. And Isaac asked about, well, you know, here's the wood and here's the fire and, you know, you got your knife and everything. But what are we going to sacrifice? And Abraham says the Lord's going to provide something. Now, Abraham, as we read throughout the scriptures, Abraham's thoughts may have been running along the lines of that God was going to provide a resurrection. That he said, even, you know, he trusted that he could raise Isaac from the dead. So that may be the provision that he had in mind. But God actually did, as Abraham was about to slay his son, stop him and provided a ram, a sheep, for him to sacrifice in place of it. And so the name of that place then became the Lord will provide. Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh or Jireh. And so that name became the name of the place. Because on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Now I don't know that Abraham understood a lot about what was going on that day in the deeper meaning of it. I mean, he understood that he was willing to sacrifice his son and that God didn't make him and provided him with an alternative. But I don't know that Abraham really understood the true implications of what the Lord providing really meant. That God was going to provide a lamb, his own son, the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed for all mankind. He probably didn't grasp that. And we wouldn't have either in that circumstance. We would have no idea of what God's plan fully was. Looking back on it, it's amazing. It's incredible that God had this all planned out. And yet, the Lord will provide. But what has the Lord provided for you? Do you provide worship to the God who provides His Lamb for your salvation? Are you providing the devotion and dedication to Him that He asks for? And then finally tonight, we want to look at Jehovah Rophi or Rapha. And this one is the Lord that heals, or the Lord who heals. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 26, Moses writes, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in His eyes, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians." This is, of course, after they're leaving Egypt. And so you remember all the plagues that came on Egypt because they were rebelling against God. And He said, if you'll obey me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll do what I say, you won't have any of those. "For I am the Lord your healer. I am Jehovah Rapha," or Yahweh Rapha. Now, of course, the Lord heals physically on many occasions throughout the Scriptures. But He also heals spiritually. Jesus says in Matthew 9:12, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And we need to realize how important it is that we recognize our own illness, spiritually speaking, and allow God to heal us. Will you allow God to heal your spiritual sickness tonight? If you have some weakness, some sickness, some illness of sin that's crept into your life, don't allow that to ravage your soul. But call on the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Call for Him to heal your sin-sick soul and not allow that to continue in your life. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason tonight, please come as we stand and sing.